Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laslofi.
Arthur Kessler once said, "When a chess player looks at the board, he does not see a static mosaic, a still life, but rather a magnetic field of forces charged with energy." I would argue that the same holds true for politics. In some ways, it's a game of chess played out over decades or centuries. It's a dynamic battlefield, and the goal of the players is to embed their worldviews in law for the benefit of future generations. The challenge is that many times the competing worldviews are dynamically opposed, which adds to the tension and the drama. That was the case yesterday when the Senate Judiciary Committee heard Senate Bill 220, a bill to legalize assisted suicide in Montana. The practice is only legal in two states, and forces are hard at work to make Montana the third. As we debate the issue, it's important to remember that perspective is critical. In essence, you need an overhead view rather than looking through the chess pieces from the side of the board. It's also important to remember that those pushing the issue at the national level are thinking five or six moves ahead, while many of those at yesterday's hearing see the issue as a static mosaic. It began with Compassion and Choices, the old Hemlock Society, initiating a lawsuit that eventually became known as Baxter v. Montana. The question before the court was whether or not patients had a constitutional right to end their lives with the help of a doctor. Currently, assisting in a suicide is defined as homicide in Montana. The lower court found a constitutional right to die, but when the case was appealed to the Supreme Court, the final decision was somewhat ambiguous. They did not find a constitutional right to die, and in fact did not even legalize assisted suicide. The court only went so far as to say that if a doctor assisted in a suicide and was subsequently charged with homicide, they might, in a very narrow set of circumstances, be able to claim the consent of the victim as a defense. Compassion and Choices claimed a resounding victory and immediately took to the airwaves claiming that assisted suicide was now legal. Fortunately, the medical community saw the decision for what it really was and refused to participate because they didn't want to risk being charged with murder. Not to mention that physicians don't want to participate even if it is legal. In Oregon, where assisted suicide is legal, 99% of physicians refuse to be involved. It's because people become doctors to cure patients, not kill them. During yesterday's hearing, those in favor of suicide told of family members who suffered in the final stages of life, while physicians opposed to the bill said that the law allows for pain to be managed so aggressively that patients should never have to suffer. While both of those arguments are important, we need to go back to the overhead view of the chessboard to understand how this plays out over the long term. Fortunately, we have other countries who are much farther down this road than we are, and we can learn from their experience. In testimony before the U.S. Congress, Dr. Herbert Hendon explained how the Netherlands legalized assisted suicide over 20 years ago, then moved steadily from assisted suicide to euthanasia. From euthanasia for the terminally ill to euthanasia for the chronically ill, from euthanasia for physical illness to euthanasia for psychological distress, then from voluntary euthanasia to involuntary euthanasia. Those who play political chess can see the end game, and this is one game we should never start. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laslofi reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.